Today on Pilgrim Radio's His People, John Butterworth on an Albanian army captain who came to Christ while listening to a missionary radio station.
And he put on his headset. He can't explain why, but all the other army officers thought he was protecting the border. But for 15 minutes, he listened secretly to this Christian radio program and left the borders unguarded.
John Butterworth, next. The former communist nation of Albania, located in southeastern Europe, in 1967 officially proclaimed itself to be the first atheistic state of the world. It was in this context that an Albanian army captain began hearing the gospel secretly over Trans World Radio. It's a remarkable and inspiring story told in the book God's Secret Listener, the Albanian army captain who risked everything. Our guest today is the book's author, distinguished British journalist John Butterworth. As his career was winding down in 2009, he traveled to Albania with a Christian organization. It was there that he met the subject of his book, former Army captain and now pastor, Bertie Dosti. Later in today's discussion, John will share some of the highlights of his career. John, tell us about your meeting, Bertie Dosti, and how the book came to be.
We went over to Lushnia and mid in central Albania. And as I was talking to Bertie Dosti, I realized this was an incredible story. And basically, it's the story of an atheistic communist army officer who won the third highest military medal in Albania and how he went from Captain Dosti to Pastor Dosti after the dictator Enver Hoxha died. I came back from the trip to Albania, one phone call, one email, and the publisher took the book, and so I wrote God's Secret Listener.
Well, if you would, John, set the stage for us a little bit, the context for the country in which this Army Captain Bertie Dosti was serving in Albania, very repressive communist country for decades. What can you tell us about it? It's not the same country today, obviously.
It isn't. It's at the eastern end of the Mediterranean, north of Greece and south of what used to be Yugoslavia, now the Yugoslav states. In 1944, Enver Hoxha, the dictator, took power in Albania and he ruled with a rod of iron for 41 years. He hated everything to do with the West, Western fashion, Western music, everything. He closed the borders to the rest of the world for more than 40 years. He particularly hated the church. He closed all the churches down. All the pastors and priests either fled, martyred, or were put in prison for their faith. The rest, 85% of the churches he knocked down. The rest that stayed, he used as granaries and food stores. He even turned the cathedral at Skopje from a cathedral into a volleyball court because they thought it was useless as a church. He banned RE in schools. He banned Christian names so children couldn't have Christian names. He even built a museum of atheism in Tirana, the capital. In 1967, he hit world headlines when he announced to the world, "I've abolished God. I've made Albania the world's first atheistic state."
The world's first atheistic state. And so even though there were many other communist countries at that time, this one, would it be fair to say, was this one the most closed of all of them?
Yes, Albania was the most closed of the European communist countries. And Enver Hoxha, the dictator, was particularly paranoid that three countries were going to invade Albania: America, Russia, and Britain. Bertie Dosti was in Enver Hoxha's army, a specialist in signals and radio. and he'd won the third highest military medal in the country for his radio work. His job was to scan the world's airwaves and give early warning in case anybody was going to invade Albania, in which case they'd all go down into tunnels and fight a guerrilla warfare. But Bertie never found an enemy signal. Why would they? Nobody would bother about this little country the size of Wales at the eastern end of the Mediterranean. But you see, in 1967, when Enver Hoxha said to the world, "I've abolished God," it galvanised a group of Christians in Lancashire to send a 15-minute-a-night programme from Lancashire to Monte Carlo in France, where it was beamed into Albania for 23 years by Transworld Radio, not knowing if anyone was listening. Now, you might say, if it's a closed country, how on earth did they find somebody to translate the programme? There was a Albanian working in London called Alfred Andoni, who worked for the BBC Foreign Service during the day. Guess who he worked for at night? MI6, British Intelligence, listening in to Albanian radio and reporting back. So Alfred Andoni worked for BBC Foreign Service, MI6, the spying agency, and got a few pounds from the Missionary Society for translating this programme. Interestingly, just before Alfred Andoni died, he became a Christian. I think he's the only radio disc jockey who's been converted by his own radio programme. So that is what happened, and Alfred Andoni translated these messages. When he died, another Albanian, Sally Ratmani, took over. Bertie Dosti scanned the world's airwaves, never found an enemy signal. But one night he heard one sentence. It said, from this radio message, "If you want to find out more about God, listen tomorrow night." Bertie said, "Don't be ridiculous. Enver Hoxha's our God. Besides, if I'm caught listening to Western radio, I'll be in big trouble, as will my family. I'm a communist. I'm an atheist." Next night, Bertie joined all the other Albanian army officers. One in two at least was a government informer, and he put on his headset. He can't explain why, but all the other army officers thought he was protecting the border. But for 15 minutes, he listened secretly to this Christian radio program and left the borders unguarded. When Enver Hoxha died in 1985, Captain Dosti, the Albanian communist army officer, became Pastor Dosti of a church which had survived underground despite Enver Hoxha's efforts to kill it off. And he also opened a school. He was principal of a school to teach the Albanian teenagers computer studies, English, and all other subjects to help them find work. So it is an amazing story. And the Albanian church Christians liken it to the story in the New Testament when the friends brought their pal on a stretcher. Remember, they couldn't get in through the walls, so they had to go to the roof and let their friend down through the roof. This is exactly what happened to us. Walls were blocked by Enver Hoxha. People couldn't come into the country, but he couldn't stop our Christian radio and God using Christian radio to bring the message in from the sky through Christian radio.
That is a remarkable story, John. And so you're saying that Bertie Dosti came to Christ some years before the death of Enver Hoxha, the leader, the dictator. And of course, he had to remain very quiet about that for a number of years.
He did. Yes, he did. And he listened secretly. Once after that first night, he became a regular listener. And the interesting part is that when Enver Hoxha died, the Christians from Europe came into Albania and they were absolutely amazed because they'd had people contact them and there were hundreds of Albanians who'd been listened secretly to that Christian radio program. They were amazed. One of them had been ordered by Enver Hoxha to listen to the program and report back to him. And the Christian, Albanian Christian, listened to the program and said to Enver Hoxha, "Oh, don't worry about that. There's no threat at all." And he continued to listen secretly. And interestingly, now Bertie, many years later, every Monday morning, he goes to a radio station in Tirana to evangelize and speak to the Albanians about what it means to be a Christian. It's on the same wavelength and in the same building which Enver Hoxha and his stalwarts used to put out the atheistic message, there is no God. Today, Bertie is saying, that's not true, there is a God, on the same frequency and the same building where Enver Hoxha used.
That is remarkable. And what of Bertie Dosty's family? At what point did he share with them, or was he careful not to share with them the gospel until Enver Hoxha died?
Yeah, he was very careful in the beginning. His wife knew about it, and she later became a Christian. She was a little reluctant at first, but when Albania opened up, she did sit in on the church service, and she became a Christian, as did his son and daughter. So the whole family have now become Christians, and his daughter has a couple of grandchildren. So there's another generation coming as well.
Well, the book is God's Secret Listener, the Albanian army captain who risked everything. And you mentioned that this was a broadcast of Trans World Radio originating in the UK or in England. Is that correct?
Yes, from a group called the European Christian Mission in Lancashire, who sent it out to Monte Carlo to Transworld Radio, who beamed it in from there.
And Transworld Radio, some people, maybe many listening to this, are familiar with it. Can you give us just a quick overview of who they are, John, yes. and the scope yes. of their ministry?
Transworld Radio are a huge organization that is beaming the Christian message in through radio into all the difficult parts of the world where it is not safe to go in, but they are working in many countries where it's difficult and dangerous to be a Christian. And because of radio, they can beam the message in and they get many people listening in difficult parts of Asia or Africa and what used to be the old communist bloc in Europe. So they have a worldwide ministry, and they are also working in South America, I believe, as well. So it is a worldwide Christian radio station taking the gospel out into all the world, as Jesus commanded at the end of Matthew.
Well, this former Albanian army captain, Bertie Dosty, came to Christ as a result of listening to these 15-minute, five-day-a-week Christian broadcast over Trans World Radio. And if I recall correctly, he actually then took a next step of writing to Trans World Radio?
Yes, well, even better. Yes, he did write to Trans World Radio, and he did a radio course with them. And then when 2012, I think it was, he actually came over to Britain. And I managed to do two things when he came over to Britain. Firstly, he came to speak at a big Christian convention at Keswick in the Lake District, which had been going for more than 100 years, 3,000 Christians. And it was very moving because he told his story at the main evening meeting, and he had Sally Ratmani to help him translate. And Bertie told his story, and then at the end he said, and it is through this person, pointing to Sally, who I also listened to in secret, that I became a Christian. And so many people were absolutely amazed. He got three rounds of applause, and then at the end, so many Christians came up to him and said, I prayed for Albania for all these years. Tonight I have seen how those prayers were answered. And the second thing we did was we went to the Albanian embassy in London, and we were invited to meet the Albanian ambassador to Britain in London. Bertie and I went, and he knew all about Bertie, did the Albanian ambassador, And I sat there thinking, what an amazing experience. Here is Bertie and the Albanian ambassador talking in Albanian about the Albanian church. A couple of few years ago, the Albanian ambassador had said there is no God. And now here we were in the Albanian embassy talking about God and giving him a copy of the book and also one to pass on to the president of Albania.
And so the book is God's Secret Listener, the Albanian Army Captain Who Risked Everything. My guest is the author, Mr. John Butterworth. And John, you point out in the book, too, that it seems that Albania has a Christian heritage. It may even be alluded to in the New Testament.
Yes. Definitely. Yes, it's a good question when I preach and give talks and said, did the Apostle Paul go to Albania? And obviously the answer is yes. And the question is really is in Romans, where Paul says, I've preached all the gospel from Rome all the way round to the old name, what we used to be Albania. And we don't know for certain, but in Apollonia, where is a city, was an old city in Albania, there's a very old market square, and the Albanians believe that Apostle Paul preached there. And amazingly, by 59 AD, that's not too long after Jesus' death and resurrection, long 40 years before the book of John, the Gospel of John was written down, Albania already had 60 Christian families and two bishops. And they point, the Albanians say, well, if the Apostle Paul went to Thessaloniki, obviously he came by ship. The obvious place was to come to Dores, or Dyrrachium, as it's known in those days, the old Roman port of Albania, which he started the Ignatian Way, which goes from Dores or Dyrrachium on to Thessaloniki and on to Constantinople and Istanbul. And the theologians say there is time for Paul to have spent time in Albania while on his trip to Thessalonica. So it is an amazing story. You can't prove it, but there is a lot of evidence that somebody came with a gospel very early on, and Albania has a very early Christian heritage.
Your book, God's Secret Listener, was published in 2010 originally, and it's recently been updated. What is the nature of the updating?
Well, just bringing up to what's happened in the last 12 years, what's happened to the church, what's happened to the country, and particularly what's happened to Bert and his family since that time. It is an amazing story of the growth of a church. It's straight out of the book of Acts. It really is, because there's so many parallels, a new church and how it's grown, the problems they've had, but they've overcome, and it is flourishing now.
What can you tell us about the church in Albania, considering it wasn't that many years ago, a few decades ago, but it was considered the nation's...
Certainly. Well, when Enver Hoxha was in charge, and he died in 1985, there were officially no Christians at all. Now there's believed to be more than a quarter of a million in Albania, and in a country with a population of 3.2 million, which is about the population of Wales, a small country in the UK. So it's made huge inroads. But not only has it had an effect on Albania, it's been helping in Kosovo, which used to be part of Albania, is now a separate Yugoslav state. It's been church planting in villages, and now the gospel has gone so well in Albania that every town and city has a number of churches, and now they're reaching out to the small villages to make sure each village has a small church as well. Not only are they helping on a Christian level, they're also helping on a social level. They're helping the disabled, because there's no help for the disabled in Albania, providing wheelchairs. They're helping the schools with education. They're helping the poor. They're building houses for the poor and hospital visiting, and even to the point that when some youngsters messed around and broke some street lights, the church in Lushnia, Bertie's church, paid for those lights to be repaired because the council equivalent had any money, because Bertie wanted to make sure the people were safe when they were coming through Lushnia to come to church in the evening.
So just a very brief update on Bertie Dosty himself. As you said, he became a pastor. As I recall, he turned 65 in April of this year.
Yes.
And he didn't retire, as some might have expected him to.
I asked Bertie, and when I said, "Oh, you're going to retire, Bertie," he just smiled and said, "Not yet." He is so committed and so full of what he's doing, and he's doing so much good, that he says, "While I'm still in good health, I will continue my ministry."
John, in the minutes we have left, I hope you don't mind turning personally to you. You've been a journalist for more than 44 years, and you've been a Christian, you mentioned. It was either before we started doing this or in the course of it. I think it might have been before, but since you were a teenager, can you tell us how you came to Christ, and then maybe a highlight or two of your journalistic career?
Of course I can. Yeah, I'd be delighted to. I was brought up to go to church. My dad was a high Anglican. I found church a bit boring, but when I was 6 and 7, I went on holiday with my family, and there was a beach mission by the church, the CSSM Beach Mission, Scripture Union, on the beaches in Suffolk in East Anglia. And I suddenly realised Christianity was fun. So I went to those beach missions for 2 or 3 years. Then I went to grammar school, where 3 of the teachers were Christians. So there was a Christian union at school. And then I, as a teenager, I went to Crusaders, which had been going for over 100 years. It is a fun Bible class for young teenagers, and I thoroughly enjoyed that. And then when I became an older teenager, I went to a youth group in a tough part of Stoke-on-Trent, and there was up to 200 teenagers there every night. When I left home to start journalism, I lived with 2 doctors and their children. David and Beryl Hawker were doctors from Nepal, and they were home for a year. So I lived in digs with them. And I went to St. Andrew's Church, where the vicar, John Watts, and his wife, June, really looked after us. My point is that everywhere on my journey, God's provided me with people, older Christians, to help me and guide me. And I am extremely grateful to all those people. As I said in the God's book, God's Secret Listener book, which you've mentioned about, many people have heard of Billy Graham, but not Billy Halliday, who brought him to Christ. And it made me think of all the people who, on my journey of faith, who've been there to help me. God has put them there to help me, to support me and encourage me. So many helped Bertie, so many have helped me. And I'm sure, Bill, you would agree, many have helped you in your spiritual journey.
Certainly, certainly true. And I don't know if it's fair to ask this, but 44-year journalistic career, can you in the minutes we have left, can you cite a highlight or two for you? You've obviously talked to so many people, but what would come to mind?
I'll tell you one funny story to begin with. When I was a young journalist in Plymouth, we had to work on the Sunday Independent, a regional Sunday paper. And on Saturdays, we had to work 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Or 3:30 Saturday afternoon to 1:30 Sunday morning. There was nothing happening. Nobody bothered ringing the newspaper. So I did everything possible to get out the office. I covered every sport. I covered athletics, football, rugby, water polo, you name it, I did it. I even went to the South West England Dahlia Championships, where I and all the journalists, for the 3rd year running, the Dahlia champion had retained his title.
Oh, the flower. Go ahead.
They all rushed off, the journalists, the photographers, they got the picture, the story. They went and I left. I didn't rush to get back to the office. And as I hung around, one of the judges knocked the table of the prize-winning champions of the Southwest, and suddenly the flower moved and there was a piece of wire stuck up the stem. When they checked every one of the stems, they found wire up every one of them. And he was immediately banned for cheating. All the other journalists had got the wrong story. I got the only, the true story, and it made page one of my paper, made the Daily Mirror, sold it to a few magazines. I ended up earning about £75. I was only on £25 a week. So I thought, what shall I do? Thought, I know, I'll buy an engagement ring and propose to my then girlfriend. Last month, Jan and I celebrated our 46th wedding anniversary. So I say, what a story, Jan. She said, you skinflint, you had to flog a story to even buy the engagement ring. But it was the best investment I made.
We just thank you so much for your time today. What would you hope, as we've discussed, Bertie Dosty, how he came to Christ, how God uses radio, what would you like the listener, the reader to your book, to come away with, to be reflecting on as they close it?
I think the first thing is that sometimes in the West, we think, oh, God's not doing anything. Nothing's happening in the world. But yet, when you hear of the persecuted church, you see God is right in there with them. And what I would like people to be encouraged is to see how Albania, which was one of the most persecuted countries in our lifetime, and the Christians are allowed to openly witness their faith, and the church is growing. It is a story of hope. It is the story of the Book of Acts come to life in our generation. That'd be the first thing. The second thing I'd like people to be encouraged about is to hear all the people who helped Bertie to come to faith and encourage them to think back of their journey and to think of all the Christians who helped them to come to faith and to write or email them or text them to say, thank you. I'm still going on my journey. Thank you for your encouragement. And one last thing, the book is on 10, the number 10 of those. .com if people want to find out more.
You've been listening to His People on Pilgrim Radio. Many thanks to our guest, British journalist John Butterworth, author of God's Secret Listener, the Albanian army captain who risked everything. Coming up on tomorrow's program, it's Peter Kroll helping ordinary people learn to lead small group Bible studies.
And so when someone can simply invite a few of their neighbors into the security of their living room or their kitchen table to open up the Bible and talk about it, we might have an opportunity to connect with people who would never come with us to church, people who might never listen to a sermon or a radio broadcast. And because we know them, we have this relationship with them, we can bring them in to read the Bible with us in a non-threatening way and then just talk about it.
That's tomorrow at the same time right here on His People. Thanks for listening.